Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talkin' Steelers Football. This is another part of the 10-part series of Talkin' Steelers Football that we are doing to offer a position-by-position look at the team as we continue to count down the days until training camp opens at St. Vincent College. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. Today, we look at the running backs. This one is going to be fun at camp, I think, because I would predict backs on backers in the, at the very latest, the second practice in pads. It had been the first practice in pads for a couple of years there under Mike Tomlin. Last year he went to it in the second practice in pads because I remember being very disappointed. I got down there early, the first practice in pads, and there was no backs on backers. But backs on backers and Le'Veon Bell. It's going to be an interesting summer for young Le'Veon. He will get I think he's going to get to meet pretty much every one of the Steelers' best pass rushers over the course of those early days at St. Vincent College.
I think he's up to that task.
I think that he's definitely got the heart for it.
Yeah, and that's what I meant. He is not I know this kid pretty well. Based on where he went.
Where'd he go to school?
He went to Michigan State University, Bob. And
the largest land-grant university in the United States of America?
We like to call it, the nation's premier land-grant institution.
Thank you. Thank you for clearing that up for me.
Okay. Being the third-down pass protector was not his specialty in East Lansing. Okay, he is a runner and a catcher and all that stuff. He has talked about wanting to learn the techniques quickly so that he can learn how to do that. And he thinks, Le'Veon Bell does, that his best quality as a football player is his ability to grasp and learn. He thinks what attracted him to the Steelers, being drafted on the second round as he was, is his capability to be, as he puts it, on the field on first and 10, on the field on third and 10, and on the field on third and 1. So he does have to prove he can do that blocking thing. I would suggest he's probably not going to light up that first backs-on-backers drill, but I bet by the end of training camp he's starting to get it.
No, well, and I think what we will see from him, even in the first one, is, you know, Baron Batch didn't light it up either. But what he did was, another Mike Tomlinism, he got his butt kicked with dignity, which means you stay in there, you continue to fight. It's a drill that's made for the linebackers. They get a 10-yard sprint at you. Yeah. I mean, if James Harrison... And you can't cut him. So, I mean, you're going to get blasted. It has to happen. But it's the way that, you know, you get blasted, respond to it. I think he's going to do fine in that. The thing that may take some time, and it's not because he's stupid. That's not what I mean. Once you get into real games, you know, you have to know where it's coming from, because it's a lot quicker, and when there's real plays, a lot of times, you know, the quarterback may be dropping back in, crossing your path. So you have to know before the snap where it's coming from, because if you take even a half a false step, then you can't get over to the other side because Ben's coming back that way, and you can't get around him to get to the guy. So, you know, the recognition thing, I believe, is what will take him some time. I'm hoping he picks it up quick because, and even if he doesn't, he could be there for first and 10 and hopefully then second and 5, which would be a nice thing.
And might set up third and 2.
Or maybe not. Maybe it sets up another first and 10.
Yeah.
Because on second and 5, you know, Ben is able to do, pick something out that you like out of the playbook.
Maybe give it back to the guy who just gained 5 yards for you.
And that's fine. I'm all for that. But you can also pretend like you're giving it to that guy and throw it down to maybe one of those playmakers.
What do they call that?
Play action pass.
What does that do to the pass rush?
Slow it down.
Yeah. I heard some talk about that around here for 2 years. But you're going to like the rest of Le'Veon Bell's game, the way he sticks it up in there, the way he takes more than one guy to bring him down, the way he falls forward, the way he can move a pile, the way he can catch, not just catch the ball, but run a route before he does. He's a very polished football player, very competitive kid, highly productive, highly energized. Okay, very well educated.
Look, we established that already. Looking at the rest of how that area is going to shape up, you know, I think there's probably going to be only one Johnson on the roster on offense this year. I think, you know, maybe, well, let me put it to you this way. Once Heath Miller is a part of the tight end mix, I think you're only going to have one Johnson on the roster. Will Johnson, who is a fullback, he's an interesting guy. He has some ability to catch the ball, too.
I thought he did a pretty decent job last year, all things considered.
Yes. And David Johnson, I think they're kind of the same guy. And when you're, you know, push comes to shove, trying to cut it down to 53 or 46 for a game, I think you're only going to keep one of those guys, as I said, once Heath Miller's back in the mix. So there's that. I don't know that Jonathan Dwyer and Redmond both make it, because I'm looking at my kickoff return guy here, Lerod Stevens-Howell.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, the little receiver from Utah, Reggie Dunn.
Takes three back.
So I think Lerod Stevens-Howell is my kickoff return guy, and he's a change of pace. You know, maybe gives you not the same kind of speed as Chris Rainey, but he's capable of being a, I won't say gadget guy, but a change of pace running back.
5'7", tough to tackle, got some physicality to him. Hasn't lit up the league, but he has certainly established that he belongs in the league.
And Baron Batch is, you know, a little bit different, a little bit bigger than Stevens Howling. He can give you some third down back ability. And to me, you know, Dwyer and Redmond are the same guy. And right now I would like Redmond more, but I'm willing to let it play out of camp.
Yeah, it's a big camp for Jonathan Dwyer based on, you know, they added two guys at the position, a signee in Stevens Howling and a second-round pick in Le'Veon Bell. And Jonathan Dwyer, he was reinserted as the starter mid to late season last year, and Todd Haley, the offensive coordinator, talked about prior to that happening, the Steelers needing to find out if Dwyer wanted to be out there and if he wanted to stay out there. And I remember hearing that and just being blown away that that was the case this late in a guy's career. And he's got to erase that perception. He's got to do it quickly, because Isaac Redmond, a guy of limited pedigree and limited skill, is a zillion miles an hour effort guy.
Right.
He's the champion of that backs on backers drill you love so much. Kirby Wilson will put him up against the best you got.
Right.
Red will block him, you know.
Right.
Hard runner, effort guy. I think it's advantage Redmond going in. That's from way up where I'm, what I'm seeing and from what I've heard, that's my perception.
Yes. Dwyer, he is a runner of the football. I mean, but, you know, he's a sometimes guy.
Yeah.
And sometimes
it's really good.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
And sometimes guys get coaches fired. So, but again, you know, we'll see what happens. And again, at this position, running backs, injuries are always a big factor. Okay, that'll do it for this edition of Talking Steelers Football. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.